good evening, everyone. This is Kilo 6 Sierra United November, and I want to welcome you to the outreach program this evening, sponsored by the South Coast Amateur Radio Service. This program has been established to help those wishing to learn more about our hobby and further assist those wishing to upgrade licensed status. The program tonight will be an in-depth course pertaining to what one should know when studying for an extra class license. This course will be conducted with two sessions weekly, which will be at 7 p.m. 2300 Zulu each Tuesday and at 7 p.m. 2300 Zulu each Sunday evening. For those who are already licensed and wish either a refresher course or would just like to listen, please connect to our SCARA server at either EchoLink node number 96140, IRLP node 96140, All-Star node AST 227404, DMR TG 314-5983, D-Star XLX004-J, or Fusion YSF XLX004. Let me pause. For those who are interested, please contact Mike, KD0CDQ, via email at voip@scarsvoip.com to enroll in the class and be given directions as to the study material required and the manner you will be connecting into the course. The material being presented is formulated from data obtained from the ARRL and is simply being forwarded in a presentation format by SCARS. Should anyone take issue to some of the technical statements made, and in keeping with not interrupting the class in session, please convey your comments or suggestions to the outreach program at VOIP at scarsvoip.com. Now, it should be mentioned that this course covers only the requirements pertaining to the United States Part 97 rules and does not include other requirements that may be found in foreign countries. Should any other countries other than the United States wish to have their own licensing sessions on this server, please drop us an email again at voip@scarsvoip.com. The session this evening will be recorded and posted on our website at www.scarsvoip.com. Let me drop once again. Please note, for all of our class members and instructors, it's extremely important that we all stay on the same page during these classes. The only question pool and copy thereof that should be used when participating in this class should be the one found posted on our website. Publications from other sources may or may not be current and should not be used during our sessions. Now, do we have any emergency traffic or anything out of the ordinary that needs to be handled before we start this evening's program? All right, hearing and nothing, that's always a great thing, as I always say. At this point, we're going to begin this evening's program. I want to thank everyone for being here tonight and allowing me to read your preamble, but let me throw it over to Kilo Golf 5 Zulu India, Tom up there in Dayton. Tom, the podium is all yours.
K6SUN from KG5ZI. Thank you, Kathy. Always nice to hear your voice, and thank you for reading the preamble. Folks, this is Kathy. That's our net manager, and she is one of two dignitaries that make this whole show run. Of course, the other dignitary is KY6V Gordon. And I want to personally thank both of them for everything they do. Thank you, Kathy. I want to welcome all of you to the outreach program. Hopefully we'll be able to answer some questions and field any comments that you may have. I'm here in place of Mike, KD0CDQ from the Dallas area. Now, Mike is on deployment, as was mentioned. Mike provides many self-sacrificing services for the public good. He has affiliations in many public service agencies. He's a certified storm spotter for the National Weather Service. He also is in the Salvation Army Emergency Disaster Service in Texas, as well as FEMA Incident Command System. So we thank you, Mike, for your service and wish you Godspeed on your deployment. Okay, I have to also mention that my co-instructor is my international partner, Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. That's Dave, the petrified one in South Wales. He will also be giving questions and answers tonight, and it's a pleasure to be here with you this evening there, Dave. So without further ado, let's get into it. This is the SCARS Extra Class Exam Outreach Program for 2020. We'll be covering Echo 7, Hotel 01 through Echo 8, Delta 11. And let's get on with the first question. First question this evening is Echo 7, Hotel 01. And the question reads, what are three oscillator circuits used in amateur radio equipment? Choices are Taft, Pierce, and negative feedback. Second choice, Pierce, Fenner, and Bean. Third, Taft, Hartley, and Pierce. And the final answer is Colpitts, Hartley, and Pierce. Let's go ahead and take the time here and see if there's anyone out there that would like to field this question. Please call KG5ZI. Okay, nothing heard. Well, let's get into this, shall we? Oscillator circuits are one of the basic building blocks of amateur radio equipment. Oscillator circuits are not only used to generate the signals we transmit, but they are also an integral part of receivers, such as the Super Heterodyne receiver. You can think of an oscillator as an amplifier with a tuned circuit at the input. This tuned circuit might be an LC circuit or a crystal. The values of the components within the tuned circuit determine the output frequency of the oscillator. There are three types of oscillator circuits commonly used in amateur radio equipment: Colpitts, Hartley, and Pierce. So that means that the last answer choice is the correct answer. Now, the Colpitts oscillator is usable in microwave circuits and in acoustical sensors and resonators, while the Hartley oscillator is the most popular in amateur radio, and it's suitable for radio receivers up to 30 megahertz. Both of these, the Colpitts and the Hartley oscillators, are commonly also used in VFOs. And finally, Pierce oscillators are commonly found in PLL and microphone circuits, as well as virtually all IC clock circuits. So there you have it. What are the three oscillator circuits used in amateur radio? They are the Colpitts, the Hartley, and the Pierce. Any questions, please call KG5ZI. Okay, nothing heard. Hope that everybody understood that. Over to my international partner, the Petrified One. Hello, David. Good evening to you, sir. It's a pleasure to be here with you. Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima from Kilo Golf 5 Zulu India. The show is yours, sir.
Okay, yeah, thank you, Tom. This is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Dave over here in South Wales in the United Kingdom. Good evening to everybody, and I hope you're enjoying yourselves so far. Okay, my first question for this evening. It's Echo 7, Hotel 02. That's Echo 7, Hotel 02. And this is the question. What is a microphonic? What is a microphonic? Here are your four answers. An IC used for amplifying microphone signals. Distortion caused by RF pickup on a microphone cable. Changes in oscillator frequency due to mechanical vibration. And the final choice is excess loading of the microphone by an oscillator. I wonder if there's anybody out there who'd like to take a stab at this question. So please call now. Okay, no takers to answer this one. Well, the answer is changes in oscillator frequency due to mechanical vibration. Now, microphonics describes the phenomenon wherein certain components in electronic devices actually transform mechanical vibrations into an undesired electrical signal, which we term noise. The term comes from the analogy with a microphone, which is intentionally designed to convert vibrations to electrical signals. Okay, and my next question for this evening, that is Echo 7, Hotel 04. Echo 7, Hotel 04. And the question is, how is positive feedback supplied in a Colpitts oscillator? And the answers are, through a trapped coil, through link coupling, through a capacitive divider, or through a neutralizing capacitor. Would anybody like to take a guess at this one? From Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. Okay, nothing heard. Well, the answer is through a capacitive divider. Now, in order for a circuit to oscillate, it must have a positive feedback loop with a gain greater than 1. Now, in the Colpitts oscillator, feedback is taken from the capacitive divider. Okay, I'm going to pass it back to my good friend Tom in Dayton, Ohio, for the next question. KG5ZI, Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. That's all yours.
Thank you, Dave. Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima from Kilo Golf 5 Zulu India. Okay, the next question is Echo 7 Hotel 06 E7H06. And the question reads, which of the following oscillator circuits are commonly used in VFOs? First choice, Pierce and Zener. Next, Colpitts and Hartley. Third choice, Armstrong and DeForest. And the final choice is negative feedback and balanced feedback. Well, we did pretty much answer this question in our answer explanation of question Echo 7, Hotel 01. The correct answer is our second answer choice, and that is the Colpitts and the Hartley. So they are the oscillator circuits commonly used in VFOs, and primarily this is due to their usability at the frequencies used in VFO applications. So are there any questions on this question? Please call. Okay, nothing heard. This is Kilo Golf 5 Zulu India and the SCARS Extra Class License Outreach Program. Back over to you, Dave. Golf Whiskey, can't even speak. Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima from KG5ZI.
Yeah, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Thank you, Tom. And the next question is Echo 8 Alpha 02. That is Echo 8 Alpha 02. Now, which of the following is a type of analog-to-digital conversion? Okay, I'll repeat that. Which of the following is a type of analog-to-digital conversion? And the first answer, successive approximation. Second, harmonic regeneration. And next, level shifting or phase reversal. I'll say them again because they're a bit of a mouthful. Successive approximation, harmonic regeneration, level shifting, or phase reversal. Do we have anybody who would like to have a go at that, at the answer there? Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Okay, no takers on that one. Well, the answer is successive approximation. Now, the most common types of analog to digital converters are flash, successive approximation, and sigma delta. Now, the flash analog-to-digital converter is the fastest type available. A flash analog-to-digital converter uses comparators, one per voltage step, and a string of resistors. So I'll pass it now for the next question back to Tom Neck. Kilo Golf 5 Zulu India. This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima.
Thank you, Dave. GW8SZL from KG5ZI and the SCARS Extra Class Outreach. Next question is Echo 8 Alpha 08. That's E8 Alpha 08. And the question reads, why would a direct or flash conversion analog to digital converter be useful for software-defined radio? First choice, very low power consumption decreases frequency drift. Second choice, immunity to out-of-sequence coding reduces spurious responses. And the third choice, very high speed, allows digitizing high frequencies. And the final choice, all of these choices are correct. All right, so let's dig into this. Is there anyone that would like to take a shot? Please call. Okay, nothing heard. Well, analog to digital converters are available in several hardware architectures, and they provide a wide range of applications and several means of conversion. These conversions involve quantifying of the input, and instead of being continuously performed, it's done periodically. This is called sampling of the input signal. Direct or flash conversion analog to digital converters are faster than any other type. So to convert the radio signals to digital streams used in software-defined radios, you need to sample the signal at a very high rate in order to preserve signal integrity. So a direct or flash conversion analog to digital converter would therefore be useful for software-defined radio because its very high speed allows digitizing high frequencies. So the third choice is your correct answer. Do we have any questions? Over. Okay, nothing heard there. We'll go on to the next question. It's Echo 8 Alpha 10. That's E8 Alpha 10. And it reads, what is the purpose of a low-pass filter used in conjunction with a digital-to-analog converter? First choice, lower the input bandwidth to increase the effective resolution. Choice number two, improve the accuracy by removing out-of-sequence codes from the input. Third choice, remove harmonics from the output caused by the discrete analog levels generated. And the final answer, all of these choices are correct. So that's kind of interesting. The purpose of a low-pass filter used in conjunction with a digital-to-analog converter. Anyone like to try and answer this? Over. Okay, nothing heard. Precision analog-to-digital converters are popularly used in many applications such as instrumentation and measurement. Users are facing more and more challenges with limiting the signal chain noise and harmonics, like in implementing filters to increase a converter's performance without limiting its capabilities. The analog low-pass filter can remove high-frequency noise, harmonics, and interference from the signal path prior to the signal conversion to help avoid contaminating the signal with aliased noise. It also eliminates the effects of overdriven signals beyond the bandwidth of the filter to avoid modulator saturation. Therefore, to avoid these unwanted signals, the purpose of a low-pass filter used in conjunction with a digital-to-analog converter is to remove harmonics from the output caused by the discrete analog levels generated. So that means that's your third choice. So the purpose of a low-pass filter used in conjunction with a digital-to-analog converter, to remove harmonics from the output caused by the discrete analog levels generated. This is KG5ZI, and do we have any questions on this? Over. Okay, nothing heard here. Now, in just a moment, David will be covering two questions which are straightforward from the section Echo 8 Bravo. But before we go any further, let's take the opportunity to talk about this section briefly. Echo 8 Bravo contains questions that ask for either mathematical computation or mathematical reasoning of worded answers. So with this in mind, your success in answering these questions in that section might be greatly increased if you go the memorization route within that section. Just memorizing the answers in the question pool of Echo 8 Bravo will probably save you some time and keep math jitters away while you're taking your test. Now, if you're an electronics engineer or just love the math, well, that's another thing entirely. Just remember, whatever works for you to ensure that your address is correct on the exam, that's what's important. Also, don't forget, do not memorize the answer letters. Alpha, Bravo, Charlie, or Delta. memorize only the correct answers for each question, and I myself wouldn't even look at the incorrect answers. They're distractors. I'd merely memorize the correct answers. So with that in mind, I wish you all good luck on your test, and as you know, preparation is the key here. So let's turn it back over to Dave. Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. This is Kilo Golf 5, Zulu India, and you've got three final questions, sir. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. Yeah, thank you, Tom. And the next question this evening is Echo 8, Bravo 01. That's Echo 8, Bravo 01. And the question is, what is the modulation index of an FM signal? What is the modulation index of an FM signal? And the first answer, the ratio of frequency deviation to modulating signal frequency. Second answer, the ratio of modulating signal amplitude to frequency deviation. The type of modulation used by the transmitter, or the bandwidth of the transmitted signal divided by the modulating signal frequency. I wonder if there's anybody else out there who would like to have a go at answering that one. Okay, no takers. The actual answer is the first one. So the answer to the question, what is the modulation index of an FM signal, is the ratio of frequency deviation to modulating signal frequency. Now, the FM modulation index is equal to the ratio of the frequency deviation to the modulating frequency. From the formula and definition of the modulation index, it can be seen that there is no term that includes the carrier frequency, and this means that it is totally independent of the carrier frequency. Has anybody got any questions on that particular question? Please call now. Okay, no takers. Okay. And the next question is question Echo 8, Bravo 09. That is Echo 8, Bravo 09. And the question is, what is deviation ratio? What is deviation ratio? And the first answer is, the ratio of the audio modulating frequency to the center carrier frequency. Second, the ratio of the maximum carrier frequency deviation to the highest audio modulating frequency. And the third answer, the ratio of the carrier center frequency to the audio modulating frequency. And the last but not least answer, the ratio of the highest audio modulating frequency to the average audio modulating frequency. Would anybody like to take a shot at the answer to that particular question? Please call now. Okay, no takers. Well, the answer to the question, what is deviation ratio, is answer the second answer there, which is the ratio of the maximum carrier frequency deviation to the highest audio modulating frequency. Now, in a frequency modulation system, the deviation ratio is the ratio of the maximum frequency deviation of the carrier to the maximum modulating frequency of the system under specified conditions. Does anybody have any questions on that one? Okay, no takers. And the next question is question Echo 8, Charlie 01. Echo 8, Charlie 01. And the question is, how is forward error correction implemented? How is forward error correction implemented? And the first answer, by the receiving station repeating each block of free data characters, by transmitting a special algorithm to the receiving station along with the data characters, by transmitting extra data that may be used to detect and correct transmission errors, or finally, by varying the frequency shift of the transmitted signal according to a predefined algorithm. Would anybody like to answer that question? Please call now. This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima.
KN6 FPS.
Yeah, kilo number 6, Foxtrot Papa Sierra, go ahead.
Well, as a computer guy familiar with error correction, I would have to say that the answer is by transmitting extra data that may be used to detect and correct transmission errors.
Yes, from Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima, and you will be 100% correct there. Back in the old packet days, it comes back to mind and various bits and pieces back in the dim and distant past. So thank you very much for your answer then. As I said, 100% correct. And in telecommunication, information theory and coding theory, forward error correction, commonly known as FEC, or channel coding, is a technique used for controlling errors in data transmission over unreliable or noisy communications channels. So has anybody got any questions out there on that particular question? Please call now. Okay, nothing heard. And thank you for your answer there, David, in Lancaster. Okay, with that, I will pass it around to Tom down there in Dayton, Ohio, for the next question. Well, two questions, actually. Or is it three? Two questions. Kilo Golf 5, Zulu India. This is Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima. Take it away, Tom.
All right. Thank you very much, Dave. Golf Whiskey 8, Sierra Zulu Lima from Kilo Golf 5, Zulu India. And I would like to commend David in Lancaster. Thanks for jumping out there, man. I was wondering if we were getting out. Yeah, the old packet days, that was thought-provoking. What's funny is forward error correction also includes checksumming, if I recall. And if the packets come to you out of order, it takes forever for them sometimes to find that missing packet before it'll continue on. Anyway, I digress. All right, well, I'm going to wrap up with the final two questions of the evening. Thank you, David. I appreciate you being there. I know it's very late over there in Wales, and I enjoyed sharing the duties with you on the net to provide any answers here for the amateur extra class questions. Loads of fun, and I appreciate you being there. It's good being with you, sir. So, my next question is Echo 8 Charlie 05, and it reads, what is the approximate bandwidth of a 13 word per minute international Morse code transmission? I'll read it again. What is the approximate bandwidth of a 13 word per minute international Morse code transmission? And the answer choices are 13 hertz, 26 hertz, 52 hertz, and 104 hertz. Anyone wish to take a stab at this, please call KG5ZI. Okay, nothing heard. Well, digital modes have become very popular in amateur radio lately, but Morse code, the type of modulation that has been around the longest, is the original digital mode. One advantage of using Morse code is that it is very narrow in bandwidth. The approximate bandwidth of a 13 word per minute international Morse code transmission is 52 hertz. So the third choice is the correct answer. And that narrow 52 hertz bandwidth sure does allow for a lot of possible Morse code signals packed in the bandwidth we're given for CW operations on our ham bands. So, any questions on this? Over. Okay, well, you had better luck there, Dave. You got somebody to answer you, and I'm not actually having that luck. But that's okay. That means everybody's understanding, at least I hope. Final question of the evening is Echo 8 Delta 04. That's E8D04. And the question reads, what is the primary effect of extremely short rise and fall time on a CW signal? I'll read it again. What is the primary effect of extremely short rise and fall time of a CW signal? And the choices are more difficult to copy, the generation of RF harmonics, the generation of key clicks, or limits data speed. So, anyone wish to answer this question? Over. Okay, nothing heard there either. Well, let's delve into this a bit. It is good amateur practice to ensure that the CW and digital signals you transmit are of high quality. Perhaps the biggest problem that we will have in sending a CW signal is the generation of key clicks. Key clicks are spurious signals that cause interference to the other stations operating near your frequency. The generation of key clicks is the primary effect of extremely short rise and fall time on a CW signal, which means that the third answer choice is your correct answer. So fortunately, though, most modern transceivers allow you to set the rise and fall times of the CW signal, so this is usually an easy fix, or normally a non-issue. So, any questions on that final question of the evening, please call KG5ZI.
NO70.
Well, good evening, George. NO70, KG5ZI. How you doing this evening, sir?
Well, I'm doing well, Tom. Thank you, and everyone you and everyone else in the class are as well. Question I have is regarding the generation of the key click, just to make sure people are understanding completely before they hit the test itself. So, the key click you described, is that being generated in the circuit as an electronic manifestation, or are you referring to the clicking of the key as one pounds, you know, the key to form the dots and the dashes? Which key click is the definition of that key click? Thank you, Tom. KG5ZI, NO70, over.
NO70 from KG5ZI. Well, that's a good question, George. Actually, it's not the dits and dahs that you're sending. It's an actual click at the beginning of each of those characters. It's very annoying, to say the least. And it is exactly as it's named. It clicks, and it's just, and it's like a bug or something that's in the way. So it's not the actual dits and dahs. It's actually an electronic manifestation, as you call it, with the contact of the CW keyer coming together. And it can be eliminated by filtering. Does that answer the question, and did I do it sufficiently? Over.
Are you saying that the sound of the Morse code key is being amplified to go into the modulation that then forms the click of the transmitted dot or dit or da, or is the key click actually more of a circuit, electronic circuit manifestation? Thanks for taking my question. KG5ZI, NO70, over.
Yeah, well, my opinion is that it's an electronic thing, and filtering will take it out. Now, when you're on the actual operating frequency, of course, you're going to hear the actual characters of the dits and dahs. But if you're just slightly off, man, you can hear those clicks. And as I say, the filtering will take it out, but it's just unwanted, spurious noise with the clicking of your key making contact, and it can be eliminated. So the rise and fall time is definitely a factor in this, and is there anyone else that would like to help me? Maybe they have a better technical explanation of this. Over.
6, Victor.
Hello, Captain. KY6V from KG5ZI. Good evening, sir.
Yeah, I want to give you something to laugh about before I answer your question there. Your previous question on bandwidth of a CW signal, I was so tempted, Tom, to jump in there and say, diddy-dum-dum-diddy, and sign my call. And for those that don't understand, diddy-dad-dad-dad-dit, it's a question mark. I think you're right on. It's a combination of both the key and the carrier envelope, but it's primarily the fast response. The response of that particular dit or that particular dash when forming that signal, creates the spurious noise that's involved. And that's one reason at that juncture that you can filter it. I don't know how you would put a filter around or a silencer. How's that, Tom? A silencer on your straight key. Or a bug. Or whatever. Those are my 2 cents. KY6V, back to you, Tom.
KY6B from KG5ZI. Thank you, Gordon. Yeah, the shot not heard around the world, if you will. Put a silencer on it. I love it. Yeah, that is very annoying. I remember when I worked CW on 40 meters, there was a lot of that going on, and I had a Yaesu FT-101, and it had good filters. It had CW filters in it, but you just can't get away from it when it's out there. So you just kind of slide a little bit. And there's lots of room, as we said earlier, 52 hertz at 13 words per minute. So there's lots of room to move around, but it is very annoying. Okay, anything further from you, Gordon, or anyone else on the net, please call KG5ZI.
KN6FPS.
Well, hello again, David. KN6FPS in Lancaster, KG5ZI. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Tom, I just wanted to add on to your comments about the Echo 8 Bravo math questions. That would be 03 through 06. I did notice in studying those that all of the answers are the big number divided by the little number, so you don't actually have to remember the results if you remember the big number divided by the little number, and it's pretty easy math to do in your head. KN6FPS, back to you, Tom.
Okay, yeah, it is. I looked at that as well, David. Thank you for your input there. So remember that, folks. Big divided by small will get you the answer. Thank goodness this is multiple choice and they actually use the same numbers on the test. And I digress. All right, anyone else for the net before we close this thing up? KG5, is that up? All right, I don't hear anything. So before we close this program this evening, I want to thank you all for being here. And good luck to those who are going to attempt to upgrade to the Amateur Extra Class license. It's a heck of an endeavor, and it is the best of the best. So good luck, good studies, and I hope this class this evening did help you a little bit at least. Thanks, everyone, for their input this evening, and it was good to hear you all. Back over to you there, Dave, GW8SZL in Wales, my co-anchor for this evening. Any closing comments from you, sir? Go ahead.
Yep, this is Golf Whiskey 8 Sierra Zulu Lima. Yeah, I'd just like to wish everybody good luck. And, you know, when you pass, see, be very positive thoughts there. Please drop South Cars an email and read your new call sign, your shiny new call sign, and just to let us know, we'll know how you actually got on there and the fact that you passed there. And good luck with the new privileges that you've achieved. I'll pass it back to you, Tom. KG5ZI, GWRSRL.
Okay, Dave. Well, good evening to you, sir. It's been a pleasure on this ride with you this evening. GW8SZL, the petrified one from KG5ZI. We will go ahead and ask for any more final comments, and if not, we'll go ahead and just return the conference server to its normal use. I don't know if there's a rank queue this evening. I'm not quite clear on that. If Kathy or Gordon wants to jump in here and close it properly, that's fine. If not, I'll just go ahead and muddle through that. So anyone else from KG5ZI, go ahead.
Yeah, I'll handle that when you're ready, Tom, KY6V.
Okay, Gordon, thank you. I'll pass it back to you here in just a second. I just want to thank everyone again. And it's been a pleasure helping this evening. I was kind of surprised when I was asked to do it, but I'm really happy I did. It was a good experience, and I enjoyed working with you, Dave. So we'll pass it over to the captain. Without her, him and Kathy, none of this would be possible, and I thank you both for all that you do. So over to you there, Captain. KY6B, good evening to you, sir. This is KG5ZI clear after you're finished.
Okay, Tom. Well, thank you very much, sir. You're very kind. K Kathy has returned to the teaching field. She's back in preparing things for tomorrow's classes. So I'll go ahead and quickly close things out. I want to say first up that I was sitting in the background here tonight, Tom and Dave, and I was applauding. Now, you didn't hear that. You guys are both naturals. In your presentation and articulation styles. And I sat back and thought to myself, if I wasn't retired and I was still in the broadcasting business, I would come after both of you guys to try and hire you as on-air talent. So put that in your smoke and pipe it. Let me buy a nickel here. Guys and gals, all those students out there, you have now gone through Class 8, which means that you have accomplished 80% of the travels through the course. We only have two more classes, and that'll be Sunday and Tuesday coming up. And then we're going to roll up the red carpet. So it's important for all of you at this point, and it was mentioned last class also, that you should be starting with your practice tests. Use the knowledge that you have now and get in there and do a little grinding. And there's plenty of practice tests available on the Internet. We recommend the QRZ on our website backup material, but that's okay. Whatever you use will give you the practice you want. It'll give you the exposure. It'll give you more of an insight as to what you're going to expect when that document is set in front of you that you have to fill out, et cetera, et cetera. So please, give that some very, very serious thought. It's a very important tool in getting through this whole package of obtaining your extra license. All right, I'm going to buy one more nickel here. Want to thank everybody. The recording for tonight will be a little later tomorrow than usual. It'll be probably sometime in the afternoon. Normally, I try to get it out in the morning. I do have an appointment in town in the morning that'll slow that up a bit, but it will be published sometime during the course of the day. With that, good night, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks to everybody, and particularly our narrators for this evening. And we'll all see you downstream. The server and our SCARS network is now being returned back to normal use. Good evening, everybody, from KY6V.